so wonderful that our Bill Sears, our hand of the cause, has been so active and serving the Baha'i faith internationally when he was in Haifa, and now, even though not very young, still he travels to different parts in order to perform his function and duty as hand of the cause. As I said, for a man like Bill Sears to even talk about introducing him is like gilding gold. I'm guilty of that, because who in this hall does not know Bill Sears and the wonderful books he has written? These books have immortalized him, because when we pass on, we are no more able to tell people about the faith ourselves. But the books we leave behind are responsible in bringing many souls into the faith, even when one is gone. And that is the kind of man Bill Sears. You will hear him this morning. May I request Mr. Bill Sears, hand of the cause of God, to come and deliver his speech.
Come, sit here.
Yeah.
You're beautiful,
all of you.
It's nice for an old sports announcer to come back into a sports arena or stadium. I recognize the scoreboard up there, half of it, and I know the score: Material World Nothing, Baha'i Faith 999, and that's only in the first quarter. I imagine you're all lotus blossoms today. The beloved master said that one holy soul is worth 1,000 other souls. So I figure with the 8,000 or so here, we have really 800,000 instead of 8,000. And if we could arrange for buses to be at the door from here to the Oberoi Hotel, when this conference is over, we could conquer not only India and Asia, but Europe, and maybe throw in a few islands of the Pacific because of the spirit that has been generated here. If you're puzzled about the two places, over here, this is Bill Sears, sports announcer. This is our personal transformation corner, the deepening corner. Here, it's William Sears, hand of the cause of God and the majesty of the Universal House of Justice. And since that's by far the most important thing, I think we should begin. To truly tell you about the station and significance of the Universal House of Justice, I would be talking until the coming of the next manifestation of God. But since we must conquer the entire planet before that time, we better move on with it. This pamphlet, the Universal House of Justice, 16th in the teaching pamphlets they gave us to distill the essence of our faith and to move us faster on our way, although we must always go deeper and deeper. This tells you in far better language than mine about the Universal House of Justice, but I'm going to be more personal, perhaps maybe a little more tender, but I'm going to be overwhelmed by them myself, because after all, the Universal House of Justice is the source of all good, freed from all error,
and sole refuge of a tottering civilization. Words from the will and testament of the master in the world order of the beloved guardian. Shoghi Effendi himself said, "The unity of the cause of God and the victory of his faith will, even as the sun, become manifest in this exalted body, the Universal House of Justice." And our precious, beloved guardian told us even more plainly, perhaps in words of surpassing beauty. These are his words. "The mighty edifice, the Universal House of Justice, will be erected, raising high its noble frame above the world of existence. The unity of the followers of Baha'u'llah will thus be realized and fulfilled from one end of the earth to the other. And the living waters of everlasting life will stream forth from that fountainhead of God's world order to wash away the evils and iniquities of the realm of dust and heal man's age-old ills and ailments. Through it, the Universal House of Justice, the ardent hopes of the people of Baha will be realized. And through it, the pillars of the faith on this earth, the national assemblies, will be firmly established, its hidden powers be revealed, its signs shine forth, its banners be unfurled, and its light shed upon all peoples." Then, the beloved guardian goes on, "with the coming of the Universal House of Justice, will all our cherished hopes and aspirations be realized. The trees of our endeavors bear fruit, the hidden powers of the cause be fully manifested, and then will be unveiled to our eyes the inauguration of an era the like of which has never been witnessed in past ages." Never. Fearless, unique, and transcendent. Well, I could stop right there, beloved friends, and my task would really be done, I admit that. But I have something so spectacular, something so much more wonderful to tell you about our Supreme House of Justice, that the heart can hardly bear it, even though at first it comes perhaps as a shock to us. Imagine the chill that would come over our hearts to learn that our precious world-healing faith would have to go forward not only without our beloved guardian, but without our beloved master himself. What does that have to do with the Universal House of Justice? Everything. Abdu'l-Bahá himself, during those darkest days of his life, envisaged the calling for the election of the Universal House of Justice then, in his own lifetime, before there was established a guardianship. It's all documented in the World Order of Baha'u'llah, the Wellspring of Guidance, and in our writings. That would be a Universal House of Justice, mind you, functioning in full possession of all its mighty powers. All of its power. The Master himself said so. A Universal House of Justice in charge of our world-healing, world-redeeming faith, not only without our beloved guardian, but I repeat, even more unthinkable, without our beloved Master. Imagine that, if you can. Imagine a world deprived of Abdu'l-Bahá's will and testament, that fabulous document, that eternal charter that binds together for all time the three great ages of our faith, the primitive age, the formative age, and the golden age. For 500,000 years, half a million years, 5,000 centuries, imagine such a thing. Or a world deprived of the wisdom and beauty and knowledge of 36 years of our beloved guardian's guidance. Well, of course, it's in every year of the beloved guardian's guidance, a light year. Impossible, you would say. Yet every unthinkable word of that is true. The beloved master himself declared it was true. And listen to this. The universal house of justice to be raised up in the world at that time, without either the beloved master to guide and direct it, and without the beloved guardian, that universal house of justice, the master said, would possess all of the glory, majesty, power, and greatness of the universal house of justice that it would ever possess, whenever it was established in the world, whenever, present or future. In those desperate days, beloved friends, Abdu'l-Bahá wrote to Haji Mirza Taqi Afnan, the descendant of the Bab, who built the temple in Ashgabat, and he commanded him, not encouraged or suggested, he commanded him to call for the election of the Universal House of Justice, and told him how to do it if the threats against the master's life materialized, and if he was, as was threatened, exiled to North Africa, cast into the sea, or crucified at the gates of Acca. He came that close in those days of history. He should call for the election of the House of Justice. It's all documented in our writings. And to show his tender love for the Baha'u'llah's holy and sanctified House of Justice, Abdu'l-Bahá told those listening to him on one occasion exactly how glorious, how marvelous, how impregnable that Supreme House of Justice would be under all conditions. Renouncing any word of the House of Justice, Abdu'l-Bahá has told us, is like unto renunciation of the word of the Kitab-i Aqdas, the Most Holy Book. Observe, Abdu'l-Bahá said, how important this matter is. The Blessed Beauty ordained the House of Justice as the lawmaker. If the Universal House of Justice had been operating now, today, Abdu'l-Bahá continued, by the one true God, I would have been the first to obey its decree, even if it had been pronounced against me. I would be the first to bow down before it. Listening on that occasion, the friends were horror-stricken, and they said, impossible. But the master said, no, it's true. And one of the friends, still feeling very outraged at the thought of such a frightening thing, he said, is the beloved master of God, or is he not? He is, Abdu'l-Bahá said. Is the house of justice of God, or is it not? It is. Then, how can one instrument of God pronounce a decision against one of God's truly blessed ones, the beloved master? Abdu'l-Bahá smiled and said, my whole purpose in telling you this was to show you the power and majesty, the authority of this mighty house of Baha'u'llah. Beloved friends, meditate on that a bit, about that house of justice. That's the house of justice we're talking about here today. Invincible, impregnable, all-powerful, then and now, whenever the house of justice would be raised up, no matter what the circumstances, whenever in the world, whenever. Imagine. It was so then, it is so now. It will be so in the future for all time. And that is who wrote this this lovely letter, powerful letter, beautiful letter to this sacred temple dedication and to this conference. So now we know with whom we are dealing. We know who the beloved Master Abdu'l-Bahá is. Only the future and history of the future can reveal the immeasurable greatness and staggering wonder of the beloved Master, and also of our beloved guardian, Shoghi Effendi. Thanks to that glorious book, The Precious Pearl, that magnificent literary masterpiece of Amitul Baha Rahia Khanum, we know much more about the guardian than we did. And we are grateful to her. I always say that to me she is queen of the world. As she doesn't like me to say that. When I tell her, Baha'u'llah said that truth is the foundation of all virtue. So she forgives me. Right? Sometimes. I hope this will be one of them. Well, of course, it was obviously never the plan of God that the world should be deprived of the infallible guidance and wisdom and genius of the beloved Master and our precious guardian. But it did give us this glorious chance, as it gave it to the beloved Master, to tell everyone and demonstrate once and for all the utter, absolute power, majesty, and greatness of our Supreme House of Justice. Of course, Almighty God would never let anything happen to the Master. Quite the opposite. In fact, at those dark days, to show the power surrounding the beloved Master, the British friends talked to Lord Lamington, Winston Churchill, the Foreign Office, and they described Admiral Baha's grave danger in his great station and urged them to protect him in every way possible. The Allied army under General Allenby swept in from Egypt in a surprise attack into the Holy Land ahead of time and drove out Jamal Pasha and the Turkish forces that made those threats to the Master's life. And the very first message sent out was after the news of the victory was this: notify the world, notify the world that Abdu'l-Bahá is safe. Nabil, in his Dawnbreakers, tells us how often Baha'u'llah himself came in a fearless manner through the most dangerous encounters, unscathed, to the astonishment of his enemies and the onlookers. The Universal House of Justice itself said it best in the Wellspring of Guidance, that his royal adversaries tried in every way to end Baha'u'llah's life and his religion, and to destroy him forever. Baha'u'llah was exiled like Abraham, stoned like Moses, scourged like Christ, persecuted from city to city, once scourged, three times imprisoned, three times poisoned, four times exile. But in spite of all that his enemies tried to do, he came at last to the mountain of God and to the throne of his seat of glory, destined for him since the beginning of time. The Universal House of Justice in the Wellspring of Guidance says, Baha'u'llah knew better than his royal adversaries what his destiny was. He was the Lord of Hosts, and all of their attacks and threats were cast aside like spray from the ocean and broke themselves upon the rock of his adamantine will. So I'm going to talk about the power of the cause of God. The power that surrounds us all the time, a power that the guardian said causes the foundation of every structure to tremble, every mountain to be crushed into dust, and every soul to be overwhelmed, dumbfounded. So, we've seen what the Universal House of Justice can do with only the power of heaven. Now let's see what it can do with the great outpouring of five separate sources of infallibility: the Bab, Baha'u'llah, Abdu'l-Bahá, Shoghi Effendi, and the House of Justice itself. The first one. Are you ready for this? This is who you are, you know, and what you can do if you arrive. But the Guardian tells us in the World Order of Baha'u'llah about the traditional prophecy in the land of the Bab and Baha'u'llah, that all knowledge of the world is symbolically 27 letters. Of this total knowledge of God given to mankind up until the coming of the Qayyim, he who shall arise, the Bab, only two of these 27 letters have been given to the world and to the messengers of God to that time. In 1844, with the appearance of the Bab, all of the remaining letters of knowledge, all 25, were revealed by the Bab and through our faith, the Bab and Baha'u'llah. Imagine such a thing. If you are turned to the Bab and Baha'u'llah, you are talking to every seeker you teach from a platform